Welcome to today's deep dive. I actually want you to start by checking the calendar right now.
Yeah, the date is important for this one.
It really is. The date stamped on this highly confidential internal source document we're looking at today is exactly March 2, 2026.
Which sets the stage perfectly.
Right. So I want you to close your eyes for a second, unless you're driving, of course, and really visualize the scenario. Imagine you are a field technician.
Okay.
You are standing out in a harsh, incredibly dusty environment. Maybe it's a massive agricultural processing facility in the blazing sun.
Or like a remote electric utility outpost.
Exactly, miles from the nearest paved road. And your entire job out there is to literally bridge the gap between biological humanity and a sprawling autonomous silicon mesh.
You're the one human element in a machine world.
Yes. So how do you even interface with that? What tools are actually in your tool belt?
And that scenario is really the heart of what we are unpacking today.
For sure.
Because the source material we've gotten our hands on is version 2.0 of the product's single source of truth.
It's an internal guide, right?
Yeah, an internal guide for the operator series, specifically the field ops division within the deureticular ecosystem.
The deureticular ecosystem.
Right. And the mission of this deep dive is to explore how this operator series acts as the critical human-machine interface, the HMI.
HMI for their autonomous nodes.
Exactly. The machines referred to in the text as nomads and sentries. We're looking at the exact hardware and software a tech needs to diagnose, repair, and securely authorize a network that essentially runs itself.
And the text just hammers home three core pillars over and over: rugged mobility, hardware-backed identity, and spectrum analysis.
Those are the big three.
And it breaks this down into two primary products. The first one is called the Sovereign Deck.
Carrying the SKU Ryobok deck.
Right. And the manual actually describes this thing as a mobile diagnostics cyber deck.
Which is such a great term.
I know, for anyone who loves that gritty cyberpunk aesthetic, just that word alone paints a picture.
And the hardware specs completely back up that image, too. I mean, we are not talking about consumer technology here.
Oh.
You wouldn't buy this to stream movies on your couch. The chassis is a highly ruggedized tablet. It carries an IP65 rating.
So it's effectively sealed against dust storms and low-pressure water jets.
Exactly. And they've drop tested it to 1.5 meters. It comes complete with those thick reinforced corners.
But looking at the internal specs, though, I actually noticed something surprising.
The processor.
Yeah, it runs on an Intel Celeron N5100 processor with 8 GB of RAM.
Right?
And I mean, in the context of 2026, a Celeron chip is not exactly a high-end gaming rig. Why put a notoriously low-tier processor in a device meant to manage cutting-edge, decentralized infrastructure?
Because of one critical design requirement. It has to be fanless.
Oh.
Think about it. Out in that harsh environment you visualized earlier, the absolute last thing you want is a cooling fan.
Just sucking desert sand directly into the motherboard.
Or corrosive agricultural dust, yeah. It would destroy the internals in a week. So it's a trade-off. You sacrifice raw benchmark speeds to get a processor that sips power.
And generates almost no heat.
Right, which allows the entire chassis to remain completely hermetically sealed. Reliability out in the dirt trumps processing power every single time.
That makes a lot of sense. And the screen seems similarly purpose-built.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a 10.1-inch IPS display, but the document highlights that it pumps out 800 nits of brightness.
Specifically for sunlight readability.
Yeah, because anyone who has ever tried to read a standard glossy laptop screen at the beach knows it just turns into a dark mirror.
You can't see a thing.
Right. So if you were trying to read a diagnostic graph in the blazing desert sun, you need that piercing brightness.
Plus, they've included a 256-gigabyte user-replaceable SSD.
Which is great for right to repair.
And a hot swappable 5,000 milliamp hour battery for all-day runtime. It really is built for field repairs.
But as durable as that outer shell is, the true operational value is tucked inside.
The special sauce.
Yes. The document explicitly refers to its next feature as the special sauce. They have physically modified this tablet to include an integrated RTL SDR module.
Which is huge.
Here is where it gets really interesting for you listening. For those who might not spend their weekends tinkering with radio antennas, having an integrated software-defined radio built right into a rugged tablet is a massive deal.
It changes everything.
The Sovereign Deck is tuned to monitor a massive range of invisible waves, but the text specifically highlights 915 megahertz LoRa and 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi.
And we have to look at why that matters. In a decentralized, autonomous mesh network like Deerticular, the machines are constantly talking to each other wirelessly.
Right.
If a Nomad drone or a Sentry node suddenly drops offline, the technician needs to know why. Is it a snapped physical wire, or is there massive radio interference in the area?
And you can't see radio interference with your eyes.
Exactly. So the SDR gives the operator the ability to visualize the radio frequency spectrum in real time.
The document even notes they can use it to fingerprint machinery.
Yes. Out in the field, based entirely on its unique radio frequency emissions.
That is wild. You are basically giving the technician a sixth sense to see the invisible communications of the machines they are servicing.
It's essentially X-ray vision for the network.
But hardware is only half the story here. We have to talk about the software payload running on this tablet.
What they call the field stack.
The field stack, yeah.
Yeah.
It is intense. They completely wipe the factory operating system and install a customized Kali Linux Field Edition.
Which is a very specific choice.
I find this incredibly amusing, to be honest. Kali Linux is the industry standard operating system for penetration testing.
And ethical hacking.
Right. So I'm picturing a technician in dirty overalls stepping out of a muddy utility truck, booting up a rugged tablet, and staring at an OS designed for anonymous cyber warfare.
It's quite a contrast.
It feels a bit overkill just to check on a smart tractor, doesn't it?
It sounds extreme until you look at the specialized tools they've pre-installed on that field stack. One of the standout applications is called Hemp-Grade AI.
Oh, this part was fascinating.
It is. It's a mobile tool that uses the tablet's rear camera to visually grade biomass samples. But what makes it truly remarkable is that it does this entirely offline.
Using a quantized TensorFlow Lite model?
Exactly.
And quantized basically means they've compressed the neural network, so it requires far less computing power to run, right?
Precisely. They've optimized the AI so it can run smoothly on that low-tier Celeron chip we discussed earlier.
Because agricultural outposts often have zero cellular or internet connectivity.
Right. By quantizing the model, the field tech can run complex machine learning diagnostics right there in the dirt without ever needing to ping a cloud server.
It guarantees complete operational independence.
And that's not the only tool. They also load it up with SDR plus EO, which is the software visualizer for that internal radio to hunt down rogue nodes.
There's also a pre-configured version of Wireshark.
Filtered specifically to monitor the proprietary IOs and Lacutus protocol traffic.
And they include a Deerticular admin CLI, so you can physically tether to a node via USB and pull up a command line interface.
Which brings up a massive friction point in the document.
The usability.
Yes. You have an agricultural or utility worker whose primary expertise might be mechanical repair.
Right.
And you are handing them a Linux machine loaded with network packet analyzers and command line hacking tools. The learning curve there is a vertical cliff.
But the company actually flagged that exact issue. In the internal risk register section, they list software complexity as a major risk.
And their mitigation strategy, pretty clever.
Yeah, they built a field mode UI launcher. So when the tablet boots up, it completely bypasses the intimidating hacker desktop.
It just presents a simplified touchscreen menu.
Right, with basic oversized buttons for common tasks. Scan, grade, repair.
It hides the command line entirely unless the user intentionally seeks it out.
But the risk register also highlights a much heavier issue.
The legal risk regarding the software-defined radio.
Yeah. Listening to certain radio frequencies is outright illegal in various jurisdictions worldwide.
You cannot just distribute devices capable of intercepting restricted communications and hope for the best.
Their solution there is twofold. First, they lock the SDR software to default to ISM bands.
Those are the industrial, scientific, and medical bands. Mm-hmm. They're generally open to the public.
Right. And second, they force the user to explicitly accept a legal liability waiver upon the very first boot of the device.
So they put the guardrails on.
Yeah. But if you decide to take them off and go snooping on restricted frequencies, the legal fallout is entirely on you.
Deerticular washes their hands of it.
Exactly. And looking at the business backend outlined in the standard operating procedure, it reveals a lot about their actual business model.
Oh, the margins are incredible.
They are. Because they do not manufacture this rugged tablet from scratch. They source base models from Shenzhen-based OEMs.
The text specifically mentions brands like MDOR or Winmate.
Right, and they buy them in bulk.
Mm.
Then the internal technicians perform what they call the mod.
They open the chassis, install that internal USD SDR module, route an antenna pigtail out to the top port.
wipe the factory Windows IoT operating system,
flash their custom Kali Linux, and finally, calibrate the radio against a known 915 megahertz reference signal.
And when you look at the financials, the bulk cost of the raw tablet, the SDR components, and the internal labor comes out to roughly $700 per unit.
But the MSRP for the field operators is $12,299.
That is a 46% margin.
It is a massive markup. The kit does include a hand strap, charger, and a telescopic antenna, but still.
Still, what this document really shows is that D-Reticular is essentially acting as a software and integration monopoly disguised as a hardware vendor.
Absolutely.
They are buying relatively cheap, standard industrial tech, modifying it with open source hacking software, and charging a premium because they completely control the ecosystem.
It's a brilliant, if ruthless, business model.
Yeah, it really is. So you've got this incredible tablet giving you a god's eye view of the network. But seeing the network is one thing. Actually being trusted to touch it, change settings, or access the data is another entirely.
Right, authentication.
How does the system even know you are who you say you are out in the middle of nowhere?
Which brings us to the second product in the matrix.
The sovereign key, SKU Rios Key 01.
The philosophy behind this key is perhaps the most radical part of the entire document. They call it the human root of trust.
The human root of trust.
The text states unequivocally that this physical key is the absolute only way to prove human presence in the ecosystem.
There are zero cloud passwords.
None. You cannot log into a Sentry node remotely without physically possessing this object.
But wait, isn't locking identity to a single piece of physical plastic a massive liability for a company trying to scale? I mean, in our normal lives, you and I are so used to the safety net of clicking forgot password or getting a text message code.
We rely on it constantly.
It feels almost reckless to abandon that.
It is actually a paradigm of absolute unforgiving security. By completely eliminating cloud passwords, D-Reticular eliminates the entire category of remote phishing attacks.
Credential stuffing, server breaches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If a malicious actor wants access to a node in this network, they cannot sit in a basement halfway across the world and guess your password.
They must physically travel to the technician.
Steal the key from their pocket and then physically plug it into the machine.
That's a huge barrier. Let's look at the hardware making that possible. The base is a YubiKey 5C NFC.
A very solid piece of tech.
It has a dual interface, so you can plug it in via USB-C or tap it using near-field communication. And it's built like a tank. IP68 rated for water and dust resistance, completely crush resistant.
You could probably run it over with a truck.
Probably. But the document starts throwing around some incredibly dense cryptographic terms regarding what's actually on the chip. Help me translate this for the listener. What is it actually doing when you plug it in?
It handles a few distinct layers of security. First, it uses FIDO2 and WebAuthn. Think of this as the protocol that lets you log into the Sentry dashboards completely passwordless. You plug it in, tap the gold sensor to prove you are a live human, and you are in.
Got it.
Second, it utilizes PIV. This effectively turns the key into a government-grade smart card,
granting secure terminal access to the back end of the machines.
Exactly. But the most critical protocol on there is OpenPGP. The key stores an incredibly complex mathematical signature, a 4096-bit RSA private key.
And its primary function is to cryptographically sign maintenance logs on what they call the locutus ledger.
Right.
So every time a technician replaces a part, grades a biomass sample, or alters a configuration, they use this key to mathematically prove I was here and I did this.
It creates an immutable, unforgeable record of human intervention within the machine network.
The document drops a line that I had to read three times just to make sure I understood the implications.
It's about the badge.
Yeah. It states the sovereign badge is bound to the public key. Selling the key transfers the identity.
It is a wild concept.
Your professional credentials, your access rights, your entire history on the network, they aren't tied to your name or your email address. They are tied to the microchip inside that specific piece of plastic.
If you hand that key to a stranger, the system believes they are you.
It completely redefines identity in a digital context.
And because this tiny token holds so much power, the supply chain security surrounding it has to be absolutely flawless.
Right.
The fulfillment workflow details how they receive bulk trays of these blank YubiKeys. They spend $2 per key to laser etch the D-Reticular Octagon logo onto it.
And $3 to package it in a tamper-evident blister pack.
But here's the kicker. they ship them totally blank.
Which feels counterintuitive at first glance. I mean, wouldn't it be way easier for the company to pre-program all the cryptographic keys in the factory before sending them out to the field technicians?
Easier, yes, but infinitely more dangerous. If the company pre-programmed the keys, a malicious actor inside the corporate office, or someone intercepting the package during transit, could secretly clone the private keys. By shipping them in their factory default, blank state, Dereticular completely neutralizes the threat of a supply chain attack.
So when are the keys actually generated?
The first and only time the cryptographic keys are generated is when the technician receives the sealed package, opens it, and runs a secure claiming ceremony application on their own local machine.
So the private key never leaves the physical token.
And corporate never has a copy.
It's brilliantly paranoid and, again, highly profitable.
Very profitable.
The total cost to produce and package the key is about $45. But the MSRP is $75, giving them a solid 33% margin.
But that extreme security introduces a terrifying risk for the user.
Risk ID, RKEY01.
Loss of identity.
Yeah. Because Dereticular doesn't hold a backup of your password on a cloud server, what happens if you drop this key in a river or it falls down a storm drain?
The mitigation section provides a stark, unforgiving answer. Data recovery is impossible.
Wow.
If you lose the active key without having a backup, your digital existence in the Dereticular ecosystem is permanently erased.
There is no customer service number to call.
None. The document strongly encourages users to purchase a backup key from day one. During that initial claiming ceremony, the identity manager allows a user to register two physical keys to the same digital identity.
So you keep one on your lanyard and you lock the backup in a fireproof safe.
Exactly.
The stakes are incredibly high, and the aesthetic they are pushing for this entire ecosystem perfectly matches that intensity.
The visual marketing assets really tell the story.
We do. The final section of the document outlines these eternal prompts for their hero images. For the Sovereign deck, the prompt asks for a high-angle close-up of a rugged industrial tablet resting on the dusty dashboard of an electric utility vehicle.
Very gritty.
The screen displays a waterfall frequency graph in glowing green and black. An antenna is screwed into the top port. The casing is thick, black, rubberized plastic. Through the windshield, a harsh desert sun.
They define the aesthetic as field technician. Gritty and functional.
But then look at the prompt for the sovereign key.
It's totally different.
They want a macro studio shot of the key inserted into a sleek brushed aluminum laptop. A human finger wearing a black nitrile glove is reaching out to touch the gold sensor.
A spark of digital light, cyan, emanates from the contact point, symbolizing authentication.
The lighting is supposed to be dark and moody. So what does this all mean? We have the dusty, sun-baked, dirty reality of the Sovereign deck on one hand.
And the sleek, cyberpunk, glowing, cyan cryptography of the Sovereign key on the other.
It's quite a juxtaposition.
But it shows that Dereticular views the future of decentralized infrastructure as a collision of those two environments.
Right.
It is the raw physical reality of agricultural and utility work intersecting with the highest tiers of enterprise cryptography. It paints a picture of a future that is entirely self-reliant.
You aren't calling an IT help desk when a drone stops responding in the field.
No, you are pulling out your spectrum analyzer and your cryptographic token, and you are handling it yourself.
And the warranty terms firmly enforce that reality. You get a one-year hardware warranty on the deck to cover manufacturing defects.
But they explicitly state it does not cover abuse.
If you drop it off a cliff, that's on you.
And for the sovereign key, there is a strict 14-day return policy.
With a massive caveat, the key must be entirely wiped and reset before you return it.
Because if you mail a key back with your identity still loaded onto it, you are literally handing your digital life back to the manufacturer.
Let's bring this all together. The Operator series provides the essential tools for the humans tasked with keeping autonomous machines alive.
That's the bottom line.
You have the Sovereign deck providing rugged offline AI processing and spectrum analysis so you can physically see the network.
And you have the Sovereign key ensuring absolute hardware-backed identity without ever relying on the vulnerability of a cloud server.
It is a fascinating masterclass in designing technology for a trustless environment.
It really is. But as we wrap up, this raises an implication that goes far beyond agricultural drones and utility nodes.
What's that?
Well, if a major corporation has proven that this extreme hardware-only identity model works at scale for maintaining critical infrastructure, How long until this philosophy bleeds into our personal lives?
That's a huge question.
Imagine a near future where your banking access, your medical records, and perhaps even your legal citizenship are no longer tied to a recoverable password.
But they are inextricably bound to a single piece of physical plastic.
Exactly. If we completely eliminate the forgot password safety net in society, will losing a small token eventually become the equivalent of losing your very identity in the modern world?
That is a fascinating and honestly somewhat terrifying thought to leave you with, but a necessary one as we watch these decentralized networks mature. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the Dereticular Operator series. Keep your hardware secure, keep questioning the infrastructure around you, and we will see you next time.